Blog Talk Radio.
This is the VOCR, the voice of the Canadian Rockets. The following information presented is the opinion of the speakers, and not necessarily the opinion of the TerraJet Network. All information provided is gained from open source and available on the internet. Caveat emptor. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, madame and messieurs, boys and girls, mes enfants. Welcome to another edition of VOCR Radio. I am your host, Colin Knight, a.k.a. Guru Nostra. It's great to be here. Lots to get to tonight, so fill up your glasses, find your favorite seat, crank up the volume, and we'll be right back.
Of all the objectives we seek, first and foremost, is the establishment of lasting world peace. We know only too well that war comes not when the forces of freedom are strong. It is when they are weak that tyrants are tempted.
Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
Ladies and gentlemen, the purveyor of political pontification.
Good evening, everyone. Glad you could make it tonight. It is Thursday, July the 31st, 2014, 7 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Mountain, 10 p.m. East Coast, 4 a.m. London, England, and of course, 5 a.m. in Israel and Gaza. In Calgary tonight, 26 degrees Celsius, that's about 80 or so for our Fahrenheit, our imperial friends. We have a major thunderstorm on the western horizon. And the sky is dark as if it was about 10 o'clock at night. And the trees are swaying. And the bolts of lightning can be seen in the distance. I hope it cools us down a little bit. It's been pretty hot here lately. As we continue to report and explore world news and events, we hope you will participate and engage in the conversations. You can either do that by phone if you're with us live at 347-324-3287, or by email if you're listening to this on archive, email at vocr2012@gmail.com. Now, VOCR and the Spy Radio broadcasts, we try and broadcast worldwide. We're out on the live Blog Talk Radio service and archive repeaters on a number of services throughout the world, including the Blog Talk Radio archives, of course. We're throughout Europe and beyond, and also the VOCR radio channel is, of course, on YouTube. So please feel free to jump up there and have a look. Just VOCR Radio. We remind you that our daily Spy Gazette blog provides news and views which mainstream media refuse to or cannot report, links and stories from around the world, and we do invite you to check it out. That's Spy Gazette, SPIII, Gazette, one word, .blogspot.com. Special shout-out tonight to the Scottish lass who takes little time for her personal rewards. That must change. As we go to air tonight, Israel and Hamas have agreed to an unconditional 72-hour humanitarian ceasefire in the Gaza conflict. The ceasefire was scheduled to commence at 8 a.m. local time Friday and is expected to last for a period of 72 hours, unless, of course, it does get extended. Now, military forces are expected to stay in place during the ceasefire. And in this joint statement, the U.S. and U.N. said they had received assurances that all parties to the conflict had agreed to halt in hostilities. Now, they say that this ceasefire is critical to giving innocent civilians a much-needed reprieve from violence. That came from the State Department. And they also said during this period, civilians in Gaza will receive urgently needed humanitarian relief and the opportunity to carry out vital functions, including burying their dead, taking care of the injured, restocking food supplies, overdue repairs on essential water and energy infrastructure. All of this could happen within the next 72 hours, but the chances are it won't. Israeli and Palestinian delegations will immediately be going to Cairo for negotiations with the Egyptian government. The Egyptian government are trying to reach a more permanent ceasefire, something Kerry is incapable of doing. However, very recent reports indicate that Hamas continues to lob missiles and fire guns in the street as Israel continues to respond, and it sounds almost business as usual. I hope John Kerry is pleased. Mr. Kerry ran from the Middle East as quickly as he could with his tail between his legs when he realized that neither Israel or Hamas have much faith in the Obama doctrine or its methods, of negotiating with stalwart supporters such as Israel. Now, I am fortunate to have lived enough of a life to remember when Lebanon was an oasis of entertainment, an oasis with food and spice smells from the Far East. That was before the PLO, the Palestinian Liberation Organization, and later the Hezbollah, turned it into a nation of crumbling buildings and third world lifestyle. Now, I am fortunate to remember the great speeches of JFK and MLK and Reagan. I have first-hand stories of World War II, compliments of my parents, and the suffering during the Blitz, and what it was like to be away from your spouse, not knowing if you were going to live or die. I watched the U.S. withdrawal from forces in Vietnam, and the inquiries and Senate committee meetings on atrocities committed in Vietnam. I watched Kerry prostitute himself as a star witness, and have had the opportunity of reading Swift Boat Vets, The Truth. So if you get the opportunity, Google Swift Boat Vets and check out the information on the character of Mr. John Kerry. Now, John Kerry has attempted to make himself politically material. I've watched him at peace marches and later in the Senate as he continuously whined incessantly about Afghan and Iraq while little was said about the troops. Now, I've watched the Soviet Empire collapse, and I've watched China rise. I saw the Iran-Contra affair front and center, the capture of Noriega. I have witnessed despicable acts of violence throughout my life, many brought to me in my home through the courtesy of the TV media. When I was a kid during supper in England, the news would be on, and it would show footage of Vietnam and the report of the Daily Tally. In England, we saw the collapse of the Vietnam War. I'd never seen this world in such a disarray. The World Economic Foundation is crumbling. Societies, religions, neighborhoods, friendships, they're crumbling, while government demand more and provide less. To use a really old political sick phrase which worked, are you better off today than you were 5 years ago? 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
They had personally raped, cut off ears, cut off heads.
The accusations that John Kerry made against the veterans who served in Vietnam was just devastating.
Randomly shot at civilians.
And it hurt me more than any physical wounds I had.
Cut off limbs, blown up bodies.
That was part of the torture, was to sign a statement that you had committed war crimes.
Razed villages in fashion reminiscent of Genghis Khan.
John Kerry gave the enemy for free what I and many of my comrades in North Vietnam in the prison camps took torture to avoid saying. It demoralized us.
Crimes committed on a day-to-day basis.
He betrayed us in the past. How could we be loyal to him now?
Ravaged the countryside of South Vietnam.
He dishonored his country and, more importantly, the people he served with. He just sold them out.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Yeah, so John Kerry. Wow. In Calgary, a pro-Israel protest, Calgary for Israel, a counter-protest to recent pro-Hamas protests, which were held on the 18th or so, and which were reported, I believe, last week in the VOCR. Check YouTube for pictures on VOCR Radio. It's up there with the audio of the show and also the pictograph to follow. A pro-Israel Calgary for Israel protest took place on the steps of City Hall in Calgary from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight. It ended a few minutes ago, and we will update this story before the end of the show, I assure you. In Alberta, the big political buzz is former Premier Alison Redford's staff listing false passengers on government flights so that they could block anybody else from traveling with the Premier. This according to the Alberta Auditor General's report. In an internal government report, Auditor General Mirwa Shoher found that Redford's staff entered fake passengers into the government online booking system and then erased the passengers before printing a final manifest. Oh, we're all going to go to hell if this is the worst that it gets. Now, Alison Redford resigned mid-March under a cloud of controversy regarding dodgy financial actions and expense claims and the likes. A caretaker premier, Mr. Hancock, is running the province and till a new PC leader is elected in October. But those in the race for the leadership are Mr. Lukasik, who used to be the former deputy premier. He got kicked to the basement a few months before Redford left. Mr. Prentice, who's the acclaimed frontrunner, a well-established PC federalist. And, of course, Mr. Rick McIver, an MLA for Calgary Hayes, previously from the city of Calgary. Hell of a nice guy. Albertans were asked Wednesday to reduce their power consumption. How about that? Alberta, in the wake of an unexpected power plant shutdown, temperatures across Alberta heading into the plus 30 mark and higher, and province power grid is carrying such a heavy load. So they asked them to shut down as much as possible, try and conserve. Now, there are 200 power plants in Alberta's electric system. No single power plant is responsible for any overall reliability of the grid, but TransAlta, who manages the grid, is doing everything it can to get its facilities back up and running so we can pump the maximum required electricity in our energy-bulging province called Alberta. Last week, we reported a water shutoff in Chicago, if you remember. People getting shut off from water and sanitation and the likes. And now Detroit are shutting off the water. Yeah. So some Canadian protesters from Windsor, Ontario. Now that's a Canadian city just across from Detroit. They brought several hundred gallons of water across the border to Detroit last week in a symbolic gesture. The fact that the Canadians have come over here to help out Americans, the event's organizer Randy Emerson told WWJ, that should embarrass the federal government or the State Department or the city of Detroit to either help out or stop these water shut-ups. You know what? Maybe that XL pipeline isn't a bad idea at all. It's just the commodity it's sending. Why don't we send you water? Oh, yeah. You can't pay for it. I forgot. Sorry about that.
Freedom. from every single standpoint, we have had the worst couple of years ever in the history of this country relative to the world.
I think the American people ought to be proud of what this president has done in terms of peaceful, diplomatic engagement rather than quick trigger, deploying troops, starting or engaging in a war of choice. I think the president's on the right track, and I think we have the facts to prove it.
Last month, Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas openly united with the evil terrorist group Hamas. And at this very moment, they are raining down rockets upon the innocent citizens of Israel. Half of all Israelis have sought cover in bomb shelters across their tiny country. And the Obama administration has had the reprehensible gall to praise Abbas as someone who is, quote, committed to nonviolence and cooperation with Israel, and to further proclaim in an Israeli newspaper that, quote, finally peace is possible. Mr. Speaker, I thought nothing this president could ever say or do would surprise me anymore, but this flushed and breathless rush to embrace terrorists launching rockets at Israeli children is an unprecedented act of cowardice and betrayal. America's fleet should this minute be off the coast of Israel, and the world, including Abbas, Hamas, and Hezbollah, should know that America's arsenal of freedom stands ready.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And as mortar fire landed nearby, an international team of investigators finally have reached the Malaysia Airlines Flight 17. They got their first look at the scene, and experts fear has been badly compromised in the 2 weeks since the plane was blown out of the sky. For the families of the 298 victims, it was an important start in locating and recovering bodies still out in the open and building a case against those who perpetrated the tragedy. Putin and his gang continues to deny any responsibility, and outlandish claims are being made as to what happened. But we know the truth. What is known from the black boxes is that a massive explosion caused rapid decompression, which resulted in the crash. And they are stating that it would be a missile. More sanctions have been put in place to punish Russia for financing and equipping the breakaway forces in the Ukraine. Putin, in response, has suspended import of several items from Europe and USA and Canada. And, of course, the import suspension directly affects the citizens of Russia and not Putin or his cronies. In a surprise move, Ukraine's parliament has rejected Prime Minister's resignation on Thursday and finally passed legislation he said was needed to finance an army offensive against the separatist rebellion, this one raging in the east, and avert the national default on his debts. The assembly's about turn on laws it refused to back a week earlier offers relief to Kiev's Western political and financial backers, who had feared Ukraine was sliding deeper into political chaos and might renege on the terms of the international bailout as it heads into potentially bitter election campaigns. But the political battle is taking place against the backdrop of a nearly five-month military conflict to take back parts of the Donbass region, which borders Russia, from the Moscow-backed rebels, and having recaptured the rebel stronghold of Slavyansk in early July, government forces are now moving on Donetsk and Luhansk. In sharp contrast to the stormy parliamentary session last week, at which the Prime Minister bellowed at legislators and accused them of betraying Ukrainians' army and people by blocking reforms, deputies stood and applauded him after backing the amendments. What a strange world politics is, isn't it? And we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, may have even been a month ago, and I got a number of emails on it saying, oh, no, I was wrong, it wasn't going to happen, Well, it happened. As we reported at the beginning of the month, Argentina has defaulted on their bailout loan, which is the second time in 13 years. Stocks fell sharply in Argentina on Thursday as the country entered into economic uncertainty with its second default in 13 years and once forced upon it by New York hedge funds with the backing of the U.S. courts. The Merval stock index closed down more than 8% a day after Argentina walked away from the talks in New York, where a court-appointed mediator led negotiations with U.S. hedge funds demanding some $1.5 billion. The economy minister for Argentina made it clear that the holdout creditors remain far apart. He and the officials refused to concede that the country is even legally in default, but he told reporters that he was nevertheless open to further talks involving a court-appointed mediator. Now, Argentine shares had rallied on Wednesday when a group of private Argentine bankers had announced it would offer to buy the disputed debt. Now, such a deal would have enabled Argentina to make a late interest payment owed to a separate group of bondholders, which would have allowed it to avoid default. But it didn't happen, and now Argentina are in that bankruptcy phase, that uncomfortable, nasty bankruptcy phase.
These last few years, we've seen an unacceptable abuse of power, having a president whose priority is expanding his own power. Any guess on who said that? Mr. Speaker, it was Senator Barack Obama. Here's another one. No law can give Congress a backbone if it refuses to stand up as a co-equal branch. The Constitution made it. Senator Barack Obama. What do we do with a president who can basically change what Congress passed by attaching a letter saying, I don't agree with this part or that part? Senator Barack Obama. I taught the Constitution for 10 years. I believe in the Constitution. Senator Barack Obama. And my favorite, Mr. Speaker, one of the most important jobs of the Supreme Court is to guard against the encroachment of the executive branch on the power of the other branches. And I think the Chief Justice has been a little too willing and eager to give the President more power than I think the Congress or the Constitution originally intended. So my question, Mr. Speaker, is how in the world can you get before the Supreme Court if you don't have standing? What did the president mean by that when he looked to the Supreme Court to rein in executive overreach? If you don't have standing, how can you possibly get before the Supreme Court? So my question, Mr. Speaker, is what's changed? How does going from being a senator to a president rewrite the Constitution? What's different from when he was a senator? Mr. Speaker, we are not a country where the end justifies the means, no matter how good your motivations may be. We all swore an allegiance to the same document that the president swears allegiance to faithfully execute the law. So I will be listening intently during this debate for one of my colleagues to explain to me what that phrase means. What does it mean not to execute the law, but when the framers thought enough of that phrase to add the modifier faithfully? What does that mean? And if a president does not faithfully execute the law, Mr. Speaker, what are our remedies? Do we just sit and wait on another election? Do we use the power of the purse, the power of impeachment? Those are punishments. Those are not remedies. The remedy is to do exactly what Barack Obama said to do, to go to court, to go to the Supreme Court, and have the Supreme Court say once and for all, we don't pass suggestions in this body, Mr. Speaker. We don't pass ideas. We pass law, and we expect them to be faithfully executed.
this time to remind you that our daily Spy Gazette blog does provide news and views every day. So that's SPIIIGazette, one word, .blogspot.com. Check it out. A lot of stories in there that mainstream media either refuse to or cannot report. We have links and stories from around the world, and we do invite you to check it out. SpyGazette.blogspot.com. Well, good news, Republican leaders in the House of Representatives were unable to secure the votes for a bill to provide the government with additional money to cope with the influx of unaccompanied children at the border, and were forced to pull their own legislation in a dramatic last-minute move. You know, this happens every time the House breaks for summer or for Christmas. There's always this emergency timing. You know, they always put it in, and the people fall for it. Oh, my God, look what our congressmen, look what our senators are doing for us. In every free world, every Democrat society that has a government and that have departments, the departments are going to make themselves relevant. So this last-minute move, this is your people that you have voted for, that you're thinking of kicking out, making that last-bid effort to show you how much they care. Now, after 2 months of fiery rhetoric about the urgent need to manage the surge in children arriving at the border, or hire more immigrant judges and bring in the National Guard and streamline the process of deporting undocumented migrants, lawmakers in Washington were facing the prospect of returning to their constituents having been unable to get anything through. The upshot, according to multiple media reports, was a decision to delay the 5-week congressional recess, which was due to begin Thursday night, and another meeting was called for Friday morning. I mean, really? How many times do people fall for this? They've been dragging their heels all year, and suddenly there's a scramble to try and get it done. Pretty sad, really, when you think about it. And more news coming out that very few mainstream will tell you, but the CIA have finally admitted that they were spying on the Senate. Yep. CIA, who have no legal jurisdiction within the borders of the United States, they are purely for international intelligence, now are operating within the borders of the United States of America. The CIA director apologized for improper conduct of agency staff. One senator calls on John Brennan to resign in the wake of the scandal, which might not be a bad idea. The director of the Central Intelligence Agency, John Brennan, issued an extraordinary apology to leaders of the U.S. Senate Intelligence Committee on Thursday, conceding that the agency employees spied on committee staff and reversing months of furious public denials. I mean, really? Oops, sorry. Caught me. It's very much like the phone-tapping scandal in the UK. Newspapers were doing it for as long as I can remember. In the old days, they'd hire some sleazy little PI to go down and find a phone line that they could tap into. You know, this goes way back in the political play. And now the CIA have had their fingers slapped because they went into somebody's hard drive. The CIA spokesman Dean Boyd acknowledged that agency staff had improperly monitored the computers of committee staff members. Now, this happened in 2009, ladies and gentlemen. They have dragged their heels to the admission from 2009. No wonder nothing gets done in this world, huh? Now, asked if Brennan had or would offer his resignation, a different CIA spokesman, Ryan Trapani, said, "Hell no." So, there you go.
Incredibly, the other day when the plane had just been shot down and it was the big story and everybody, that's all people could talk about, I was landing at LaGuardia and the plane was diverted to Kennedy because LaGuardia was closed because Obama was here for a fundraiser. The city was in total bedlam. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. The streets were closed, the streets were blocked, and everybody was angry. And then they found out that Obama was here for a fundraiser. He actually gave two fundraisers. Who would give a fundraiser the day the plane was shot down? It's unbelievable. And he gave two. Interestingly, he raised $1 million, and it cost anywhere from $6 to $10 million. So you think they could make a deal with the government where the government would say, look, we'll give you two, just stay home. A man spends $6 to $10 million to come in and collect $1 million, and that's the way our whole country is going, Frank, because that's our economics now. That's the economics of the United States. It's a shame, and it shouldn't be allowed.
Voice your opinion. Participate in your future. Become engaged in socio-political events. Say your piece. 347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
I thought nothing this president could ever say or do would surprise me anymore. But this flushed and breathless rush to embrace terrorists launching rockets at Israeli children is an unprecedented act of cowardice and betrayal.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
Have you been watching this Ebola outbreak? My God, what a mess. Liberia and Sierra Leone, I should say, have declared states of emergency. They've ordered the closure of schools and markets and the quarantining of affected communities in an attempt to halt the Ebola epidemic, which has claimed 700 lives across three Western African nations already. 700. The leaders of both countries have canceled planned trips to Washington. They were supposed to come here for the U.S.-Africa summit next week. So they've canceled, and they're going to meet Friday in Conakry, the capital of Guinea, to discuss the crisis. In Nigeria, where a Liberian civil servant died of Ebola after flying to the commercial hub of Lagos. The airport authorities naturally are all in a tiz-was and began screening passengers for high temperatures who were arriving from places at risk. Liberia's president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, announced the emergency measures after a closed-door meeting earlier this week in which medical officials painted a stark picture, according to an aide present at the meeting. This is terrible stuff. We've got murder and slaughter. We have plagues upon our earth. We've had flooding. Wow. Now, communities that were hit the hardest in these regions would be quarantined for as long as necessary by security forces. Sierra Leone's president, Ernest Bai Koroma, said the state of emergency would last between 60 and 90 days. House-to-house searches to trace victims will be conducted, and new at-risk neighborhoods will be placed under quarantine if necessary. A nationwide hunt was sparked in the capital, Freetown, when a patient was forcibly removed from hospital last week. She was reported to have died while being returned to the facility in an ambulance 2 days later. The latest action comes as senior Western officials, including from the U.S. and the U.K., held meetings to assess the risks of Ebola reaching their shores. The U.S. has recalled its Peace Corps, all the volunteers from the region. Now, the measures taken in similar to those that rapidly ended the 1997 Ebola breakout in Uganda, which has sent, Uganda has sent in a medical team to help. Many rural communities view Ebola with much the same fear of misunderstanding as Westerners did with the AIDS epidemic when it began, and have sometimes attacked overstretched health officials struggling to contain the epidemic. Those on the front lines have been among the hardest hit by the disease, which has claimed the lives of Liberia and Sierra Leone's most experienced Ebola doctor. Do you remember this woman who was caught at Heathrow with money in her underwear that was going to Syrian rebels? Remember it? Yeah, she was caught with the equivalent of $42,000 in her underwear when she was stopped at Heathrow. Well, she now denies trying to hide Syrian rebel cash in her drawers. Yeah. Nawal Massad was found with £20,000 when she was stopped at Heathrow. She hid the cash there because she wanted to keep it somewhere safe, she told the Old Bailey on Thursday. Safe. Nawal Massad, 27, was caught with the large denomination notes rolled up and hidden in a condom as she prepared to board a British Airways flight in January to Istanbul from Heathrow. She was said to be acting as a courier for her friend, Amal El-Wahhabi, who was allegedly trying to send money to her partner, Ayn Davis, who was fighting with anti-government forces in Syria. Now, the cash equivalent to $16,000 was dropped, wrapped in a cling-thing by an anonymous courier through the letterbox of Wahhabi's rented house in northwest London, from where Massad picked it up. Describing walking the next morning, Massad, a university student from Barnsbury, north London, told the Old Bailey, "I took the money out at once, once I was dressed. I wanted to make sure I keep the money on me somewhere safe." She described rummaging around in a drawer for a rubber band to secure the money in cling film, and then she thought of the condom, thought that might work, and it did. "I thought I was a really good way of sealing the money. It was secure," she said. "There was no way the condom would come off." So Massad said she put the money under the waistband of her black leggings that she was wearing under her jeans, and then she said she came up with the idea herself and denied that she was smuggling cash out of the country. Voila! So, describing her decision to then hide it in her leggings, she added, "For 1 second I thought of putting it in there, but just for the time being. I didn't intend to keep it there." And we all know what there is, right?
But resist we must. We must.
They're all jitty about a shutdown. The Tortis in the race, then co-author of Hubris, U2 lead singer Bono, Fran Drescher, Sigourney Weaver, suspect Jahar Sanaev, Rush Limbaugh. Rush Limbaugh, Rush Limbaugh, the show Rush Lombard hosts Supreme Court Justice Sonia Sotomayor. Is Mike Muckery yesterday, Antonine Scalia, Kim Kardashian, and the Republican candidates for Cairo and Benghazi. We rank behind La Vita. First stop, Kazakhstan, to college students in Beijing. He's getting lunch at Chick-fil-A in Iowa. Bain is appropriate. The GOP's tax day giveaway to millionaires. Why was traffic problems email sent? The Environmental Protection Agency and what sequestration has done.
347-324-3287. 347-324-3287.
And here's a piece of news that's bound to wind up the Obama administration and the press just a little bit more. The semi-autonomous Kurdish region in northern Iraq is pressing the Obama administration for sophisticated weapons it says Kurdish fighters need to push back Islamist militants threatening their region. Now, a Kurdish official has said the request was discussed during the Kurdish delegation's visit to Washington in early July, and that Washington was considering ways to bolster the Kurdish defense. The Kurds say U.S. help is critical to enable the Peshmerga, that's the Kurds paramilitary force, by the way, to repel fighters from the Islamic State. Now, this is an al-Qaeda spin-off that seized the wide swath of Iraqi territory, remember? The requested military supplies include tanks, sniper equipment, armored personnel carriers, artillery and ammunition, and also body armor, helmets, fuel trucks, and ambulances. Kurdish officials say the Peshmerga need the weapons to guard these borders, especially in the rugged mountainous region, and to protect hundreds of thousands of Iraqi refugees sheltering there after fleeing the Islamist rebels' onslaught. Well, the U.S. apparently are considering ways to help the Kurds defend themselves, but direct provisions of arms to the Kurdistan regional governments in the way Washington arms Iraq's central governments might get a little dodgy, you know. Technically, Kurdistan and Iraq don't like each other. The Iraqi Prime Minister, Nouri al-Maliki, he's a Shiite Arab. He's clashed repeatedly with Kurdish leaders over budgets and land and oil, and U.S. weapons supplies could set a potentially troublesome precedent circumventing an allied government to provide the U.S. arms to a regional force. You see, the Kurds, the area that they control, is still technically Iraq. So the Obama administration are looking at this and saying, well, you're not really a country, although you're independent. And we have this agreement with your buddies, Iraq, and we're not sure if we would breach the agreement by giving you anything. So, you know, hang in there, and we'll see what we can do for you. You know? Now, I mean, that's kind of crazy. But that seems to be the way it's working nowadays. The Benghazi are starting to have their committees. They're starting to happen. Benghazi, 2 years ago. There are so many issues on the table that are in the court system. Thank God they're in the court system, I'm sure the Democrats are saying. Suing Barack Hussein Obama only guarantees that he'll be out of office well before that lawsuit is completed. It may dig continuously while he is president, but it's not going to be solved until he's well out of the presidency. And then, frankly, it really doesn't matter, does it?
The fact is, we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make?
Peace is made by the fact of strength, economic, military, and strategic. Peace is lost when such strength disappears, or just as bad, is seen by an adversary as disappearing.
I believe that this nation should commit itself to achieving the goal before this decade is out of landing a man on the moon and returning him safely to the earth.
I'm a United States Senator and a Vice President of the United States for one reason, because I was educated. I was educated.
John's last-minute economic plan does nothing to tackle the number one job facing the middle class, and it happens to be, as Barack says, a three-letter word, jobs. J-O-B-S, jobs.
347-324-3287, 347-324-3287.
I think it's unfortunate that many people who have the opportunity to vote in the free world and have the opportunity to live in such a free society where you have the right to your own language, you have the right to your own religion, as long as you live within the framework of the nation's laws. For instance, when entering Saudi Arabia prior to Desert Storm, I visually saw the Holy Bible being taken out of a caravan bag and placed through a shredder right behind the Saudi agent, because no Christian literature is allowed in Saudi Arabia. There are laws against it. And yet here in the West, we open our arms, we open our hearts, our homes and our schools with the intent of creating better citizens, a better society, a more economical world. And yet each day, each month, each year, our government begins to bloat and tell the taxpayers they need more. Income tax, general tax, is very much like gasoline. Very rare does the price go down. Very rare. Talking to a friend of mine last night on Skype, and as old folks that we are, we're reminiscing when we were kids, what would we do? And I had mentioned to my friend that when I grew up in Yorkshire, England, my kiddie years, I don't know if my parents had a key to the front door of our house. In fact, I don't know if anybody ever locked the front door of their home. Neighbors protecting neighbors. I knew Mr. Romanoff just down the street. I knew his children, played with them, ate at his table. They have eaten at my family's table, you know. I knew all of the neighbors. They knew me. They were from everywhere in the world. Everywhere in the world. And There was no consideration of anything less than total respect and love. I was telling my friend, I remember gasoline being 85 cents a gallon when I first arrived in North America, and I was excited. I drove a big Pontiac Laurentian with a 4 gazillion gallon gas tank, or it seemed. And it would cost me maybe $60 to fill the whole thing. Now, I can be lucky if I can get it up a quarter tank. Criminal. Life around our world is changing. There are some very, very, very negative issues pounding down on us daily. And all we want to do is have a good life for ourselves and our children and our grandchildren. Hell, many of us don't even profess to be going to have a very comfortable retirement. But it has all been for a cause. The federal government, in their infinite wisdom, of course, are always coming up with different this and different that to screw the average man and pat the the exemplaries on the back. One piece of legislation that came down the pike that's going to have a great deal of ramifications in the next few months, here in Canada especially, is they enacted a new law called the First Nations Financial Transparency Act. It came into effect this week. Now, the Act orders that all First Nation reserves must post their salary figures and expenses for the year on their own website and on that of the Aboriginal Affairs Canada website. And when they did, and when they do, and some have yet to comply, the argument has always been that the government do not pay enough money into the reserves for the reserves to come out of poverty. And believe me, there are some very, very, very poor reserves in Canada. But their leaders are not so poor. A local First Nations chief who represents only 125 members, only 40 of which live on the reserve, makes more money than a senior cabinet minister in Manitoba. Chief John Thunder of the Buffalo Point First Nation makes $129,398 a year, according to salaries posted online on Tuesday, and in accordance with the First Nations Financial Transparency Act. However, since Thunder's salary is tax-free, his taxable equivalent salary would be about $200,000, or more than $40,000 than what Premier Greg Selinger made in 2013 to lead more than 1.2 million Manitobans. The numbers were disclosed Tuesday as part of the First Nations Financial Transparency Act, which requires reserves across the country to disclose their salaries of their chief and band council. Now get this, a BC First Nation chief who represents 81 members was paid nearly $1 million tax-free last year. New salary disclosure posted online this week show Chief Ron Giesbrecht of Kwikwetlem First Nation in Coquitlam was paid $914,219 plus $16,574 in expenses for the fiscal year ended March the 31st. Now, under the Indian Act, income earned on a reserve by anyone with Indian status is exempt from income tax. So Kwikwetlem has a registered population of 81, according to Aboriginal Affairs. The band's consolidated financial statements show $12.6 million in revenue and $7.3 million in expenditures for the same period, up from $2.77 million revenue and $2.48 million the previous year. A spokesman for the band office declined comment on Thursday afternoon and said the band would be issuing a statement when it's good and ready. You know the story, right? They got caught with their hands in the cookie jar, and now they got to come up with a reasoning, because some of the reserves in Canada are in disgusting condition. And the poor people on there deserve a hell of a lot better than what we're giving them. But unfortunately, what we're giving them is what is being used for exorbitant wages and salaries and expenses. It's been going on for years, and the chances that it's not going to go on after this is slim to non-existent. You know, no matter where you go, where you travel in this world, the word greed always peers through in some manner, always finds a way into the equation. The greed, the jealousy, you know, and it's unfortunate. And I had hoped that we were going to get to the point where we could live in total freedom and not have to look up into the skies or listen for an air raid siren or turn on the news and find out that one of your neighboring countries has been injured in some manner or another. We're in the 21st century, for the love of God. And listening to the politicians is embarrassing. Listening to what they have to do is embarrassing. They play the game and they expect you and anticipate you will fall for it. And for the most part, you do. It's time to realize the power of your vote. It is time to realize the power that you do have. If you get together and make a decision on an item and tell your representatives that is the decision of your community, and if he refuses to vote in your favor as you have requested, then remove him or her. Much like the President of the United States, the promises made and the promises kept are far and few between. The words that were said when he wanted to be king, and the words that he said when he wanted to stay king, and the words that he will say on his way out to turn the crown over to the next king or queen, mean absolutely nothing. They are part of a political puzzle that is played out, and they dance like puppets on a string, and citizens watch. And each time they come up to a weekend break or a long Christmas break or an Easter break, oh, they've got emergency legislation that they must get through before they can leave. We're doing our job for you people. Look at us. You know, we're willing to give up hours of time to solve one of the most important tasks on earth. But never fear, never fear. We'll bill the hours. If we work them, we'll bill them. Don't worry about that. That's a sad thing about life. The politics are just playing the game. They're just riding along, enjoying life, enjoying the obviously vulgar salaries that they all receive, and all of the perks that they're not supposed to receive. You know, if they're not corrupt when they go in, the chances are they're damn corrupt when they come out. Career politicians make no sense to me whatsoever. If you have never dabbled, played, or worked in the private industry, you have no concept of how difficult it is for a single mom, or how difficult it is for a struggling man-wife family with a child. The expense that they must go through to fulfill the need to work, it's sometimes disgusting. And the harder these people are working, the more the government wants. And the more the government wants, the more the government will take. And the more the government will take, the more you will have to work. Terrible, really, isn't it? Wish there was a different answer. Obviously, communism doesn't work. Socialism doesn't work. Now they're making you once believe that capitalism doesn't work. What's it going to take? I'll tell you what it's going to take. There's going to be a financial bubble. And it's going to happen real soon.
Got a minute? We all have busy lives, and sometimes we forget the small things in life that make many people happy. We work hard, we earn a great deal of money, or we hope to, and we spend a great deal of money. And yet there are those in our world who have no money to spend. There are those in this world that are fighting for survival as we speak. Give a moment to think of those people. Do what you can as a good human being. Do what you can to help their world be a little brighter. Good night, and we'll catch you back here on the next edition of VOCR Radio. This has been a TerrorCast Network production.